Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having an absolutely spectacular day. The Doug Gottlieb Show, broadcasting live and direct every day from sunny Southern California. And look, we could be on the brink of the last basketball game we'll have. Only this time, it's not like football, right? When the Super Bowl comes around, we know that there are no more football games at the end of football season, right? When the Super Bowl hits, that's it, no more. And we don't have another game until we have that Hall of Fame game, which is usually one or two snaps for one or two players that you actually recognize. In basketball, you got the Olympics, you got Summer League, and we've had a lot of basketball for a long time. And it does feel like tonight could be the culmination of two seasons in one. It could, will, maybe, I don't know. It'll eventually be over, whether it's tonight or Thursday night. I guess the question becomes, and this is a good question, Ramos, do you think that's the biggest story of the day? The NBA, do you think that is bigger than the Aaron Rodgers story?
I do not. I think the Aaron Rodgers story is definitely, right? Since he turned down that deal.
It's a really hard call.
I think the NBA Finals should be, because the Bucks could close be the champions. But I think Aaron Rodgers definitely.
We've suggested before that tonight's a great night for Aaron Rodgers. For Aaron Rodgers to come out like John Cena came out in WWE and welcome himself back. The problem with that is this story, which doesn't appear to be a new story, but it is a story from Adam Schefter, which many have said, well, this is not new news. The Green Bay Packers reportedly had offered Aaron Rodgers a 2-year contract extension, would make him the highest paid player in the NFL, would link him to the team for the next 5 years. Essentially saying, it doesn't really matter that we drafted Jordan Love, you're still our guy. And today it comes out that Aaron Rodgers turned that down. All right, do you want me to read my crystal ball and tell you what it all means? Yeah, I can hear you, Ramos, chuckling, cackling. Listen, you're a Rams fan.
I know.
And Cam Akers is done for the season.
I know. That's not good.
Not good at all. Okay? The crystal ball tells me very, very simply. Every time Aaron Rodgers feels like he's up against some sort of deadline and doesn't get his way, one of these stories drops. Don't believe me? Go back and look. The first outward sign of discontent and possibly being desirous to play elsewhere was during the NFL draft. Right? The day of the NFL draft, it dropped that the San Francisco 49ers had called about Aaron Rodgers and that Aaron Rodgers was, in fact, unhappy and potentially wanted out. After the NFL draft came and went, then there was the stories about Aaron Rodgers and his the seeds of discontent and where they were planted. And with every passing month, whether it was Aaron Rodgers appearing with Kenny Mayne or Aaron Rodgers appearing on a podcast, all of which said kind of the same thing which we know today, which is the Packers want him back. The Packers have tried to move mountains financially to get him back. Aaron Rodgers has made it known he doesn't want to come back. But why would it come out today? Again, that deadline of of training camp is looming. And with training camp right around the corner, Aaron Rodgers would lose a massive amount of money every day he misses camp. And if he retired, it's $23 million or so he'd have to pay back to the Green Bay Packers. The reason that the story of Aaron Rodgers being unhappy came out right before the draft was Aaron Rodgers had floated the idea of being traded and maybe even asked to be traded for a long time before the draft, but draft day was really the last day. right? The reason that it came out after the draft and further seeds of discontent was Aaron Rodgers was thinking about, do I retire? How can I play this thing? Using the media. That's what smart people do. They use the media to their benefit. Every time there's been a deadline looming, even the deadline that was, I don't know, it was last weekend, the weekend before, right? The start of July, July 2nd. Remember that? There was a story Florio had out that, hey, there is the nuclear option. He could opt out of the season and hold on to his money. And Aaron Rodgers chose not to do so. So by my estimation, this story was leaked by Aaron Rodgers' camp because Aaron Rodgers not getting his way. And this is their way of saying, hey, we swear we're not showing up. We're not going to do it. You got to find a way to move on. It's not about the money. This is not a news story. But it is an interesting story. Okay, so if it's not about money and it's not about security, right? Because that's what it is. He was supposedly, we're told, he was mad. Right? He's mad that they drafted Jordan Love. He was mad that there's an out in his contract that they can move on from him at the end of this season. He's just mad. You know, I'm sure he's mad at many of the little things that happened by his boss, Brian Gutekunst. Because of it, it has obviously, if it's not financial, then there's only one explanation for why he wants out, and that's it's personal. He has a personal beef with Brian Gutekunst and whoever in the front office is helping run that show. He's got a beef. And while that may be legitimate, right? Like anybody I know has worked for some of the, yeah, I can't stand that guy. Can't stand him. Unless it's your company, unless you own the company, you can never make it about who your boss is. Maybe when you're changing companies, you know, Colin's long given the advice, hey, it's about who's running the company, not about the company itself. Who you work for is important. But that's not the way football works when you're already under contract for 3 more years. By turning this into a personal battle, okay, personal battle, you run the risk of the Green Bay Packers going, bro, if it was just about business, we could find an amicable way of making you happy. But now it's personal. Either one, we're never going to move you. Or two, if we do move you, it'll be to football Siberia. We'll try to find the worst possible day. What, you think we're going to give you to Denver right now where they have a loaded team and they only need a quarterback? You think we're going to do that? Of course not. You have a nuclear option? So do we. But the other and much more important element of it is you can never allow business to become personal. I have a very dear friend in my business, and this should work for yours as well. When you work for people, understand this. They're not your friends. They're not. It's not an affront on the friendship that you have with whoever your supervisor is, and you can be friendly with them, and your families can even do things together and pretend to be deep, long-lasting friends and go on vacation together. But at the end of the day, you're the boss. You're the employee. Okay? They're not your friends. And the second you think they're your friends, that's when you're too emotionally tied and you don't understand. At the end of the day, they got a job to do. Right? I like my bosses at Fox. I understand. But if push comes to shove and one of my bosses says, like, look, it's either him or me, they have a family. They got kids. They're going to pick themselves. That's the way the world works. But even if you go back to the idea of the Godfather, right? What's the famous line from the Godfather? It's never personal. It's just business. Aaron Rodgers is one play away from going to a Super Bowl and potentially winning it. Right? Tom Brady was at the White House today, and Aaron Rodgers, no doubt, is sitting at home thinking, that should be me. Right? That's business. But making it a personal war, with Brian Gutekunst and with the Packers front office is a massive, massive mistake. And the emotion of the moment has to have gotten the best of him and caused them to leak this story. People knew the Packers tried to work this thing out. They'll continue to try and work this thing out. Try and throw money at the problem. But by turning it down and by saying it's not about money, you're saying it's about one thing. It's personal. And you know, most guys, most women, most bosses, they don't handle it very well when they say, it's not about how you run your business, it's personal. That's saying, I don't like you. And that usually doesn't land all that well. Doesn't land all that well.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Adam Kaplan joins us now on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He's our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. Let's start with the news of the day in terms of player injuries. Cam Akers was set to have a big year for the Rams. Rams super excited about their new quarterback. You got a quarterback who can throw it and push the ball downfield. It opens things up for the running back, and now they don't have Cam Akers this year. And we don't know what he looks like coming off of an Achilles tendon tear, which apparently was suffered yesterday in workouts. There's also a fantasy football element to it. How big is this news, Adam?
It's big. He was actually going to be one of my breakout players. This guy is so gifted. You know, this guy was a former high school quarterback who would later change to running back, so he's relatively new to the position. Really a smart guy. After a slow start last season, he had a rib injury. It really took off. He finished the season very, very well, the second half of the season in particular. It's devastating, there's no doubt, but they do have Darrell Henderson, who did fill in for him last season. He did start 11 games. I talked to Darrell Henderson's college coach, Ryan Silverfield, recently, and the thing that he said was really interesting is that Henderson and the other backs, when you play at Memphis, you're asked to do a lot. You're not just a running back. You'll catch the ball. You got to block. They'll line you up outside as a receiver. Talk about Kenny Gainwell, who was drafted by the Eagles as well, and Henderson did a really good job last season. And the interesting thing about Henderson, this is a incredible stat, at the college level over 3 years, he averaged over 8 yards per carry. So this guy's pretty explosive, and he now will take over as a starting running back for the Rams.
Okay. What do you make of the Aaron Rodgers story that Adam Schefter came out with? That, hey, they offered him a 2-year extension, more money up front. He turned it down, saying it's not about money.
Yeah, well, the new part about this, the Athletic was the service that reported that he was offered a deal that would make him the highest paid player in the NFL, and that would eclipse Patrick Mahomes' deal of $45 million a season. But the interesting note about this season is that it was a 2-year extension. Remember, he's 3 years left. So, look, it doesn't change the fact that he's got a grudge against the general manager. It has nothing to do with the players or the coaching staff, including the head coach, Matt LaFleur. It's all about the general manager, and it really stems from the way he was communicated about them drafting a quarterback. It wasn't specifically Jordan Love. It was just about drafting a quarterback in the first round and not being told that it was going to happen. And just look into these situations over the years. Typically, when it's your top high-profile player, if you're drafting the replacement for that player, they typically tell them with the agent, either in person or over the phone. And now, last year, remember, we still have it, the COVID issue. But it's not like they couldn't have done Zoom. Say, listen, here's where we're at with the situation. We're going to draft a quarterback. They don't need to tell them who it was, where it was going to be. But listen, we're going to probably draft a quarterback in the first round. We want you to know this. And that's kind of it. Now, that they owe it to him to do that. And this has obviously had some drama. And yet, you know, as he recently talked about, is just getting some of that mental break from everything that goes on as an NFL player. But listen, if you look at everything he's talked about, sure, he said he would know closer to training camp, which they have to report next Tuesday, the 27th. But, I mean, when he's talking about, he talked a lot about being an NFL player and all the little interviews he's done, whether it was around the golf event, Doug, that he recently had with Tom Brady and others. He never talked about not being an NFL player. He talked about just taking a break from it all. As an NFL player, you don't get to do this a lot. So that's where that is.
Okay, so best guess, what happens?
I would say he would this is a guess because, as you know, nothing's been leaked out. Nobody knows. My best guess was that he would play. He got everything he wanted in terms of time off. Yeah, he took over $90,000 in fines, big deal. But it's well over $1 million. If he decides to skip training camp, it's over $1 million. So that's a pretty significant number. Look, the Packers have said they're not trading him. I remember remember this cryptic comments he made after their playoff loss to the Bucks about not knowing about his future. I remember talking to someone with the Packers fairly high up, and that person said, you know, I said, you don't think about trading this guy. He goes, what, do you want us to get fired here? You want us not to win? They don't want to move him because they know their best chance to win a Super Bowl this season would be clearly with Aaron Rodgers and not yet Jordan Love.
Yeah, I don't think they have any desire at all to trade him. But you think he shows up at camp right away? Do you think he
that I don't know. I do think he'll vent. I think here, let me sum it up like this. I think he will play this season. I do. Now, just a little side nugget here. You might remember when Carson Palmer had what I called a fake retirement. He just wanted to be away from the Raiders. He threatened retirement, and he got traded. Well, he has the same agent, David Dunn, that Rodgers has. So that is the only thing I could see happening that would be contrary to what we're talking about here is by mid-August, and the Packers are so frustrated that he hasn't shown up, where they know he's not going to play unless he gets moved. That could change it. But right now, this guy's a football player. He's got plenty of time to do Jeopardy again if he wants it in an offseason. But the guy's a football player. Nothing that's happened would indicate that he's not going to play.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Tom Brady went to the White House earlier today, cracked some pretty decent jokes, right? Felt like Jay Leno's people took over. Some borderline corny but solid one-liners as well. Alex Guerrero, his trainer, said at least two more years. What do you think in terms of longevity for Tom Brady?
Yeah, I think, Doug, when you look at Tom Brady's situation, this is what I've kind of learned about him. Look, they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. He didn't regress at all. And then he finished his career out with the Patriots. He finished his contract out. He goes to Tampa. They redo his deal. He signed a one-year extension. He signed through 2022. I don't know about 23, but this is just a gut feeling. Know how competitive he is. Yes, he got the Super Bowl. I know some people are speculating he might retire after that Super Bowl. Well, he's not like that because he's healthy. Now, when we say healthy, he's coming off of knee surgery. We know that. I don't think it was quite what was reported. I think it was more than an MCL sprain because, Doug, MCLs, and I've covered this league 21 years, they don't get repaired. They're typically something else wrong with the knee that might have been there before. But he's recovered well. He just played golf, as you know. He does turn an incredible 44 on August 3rd. It's more of an educated guess, knowing people who are close to him. I think he'll play through 2022, and that would be it. That would be my best guess.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I agree, which it does. I get it. You want to be in a full stadium or whatever, and maybe try and run it back one more time. But, man, if you had kind of gone out
on top. Oh, if he does
top,
it again this year? Oh,
yeah.
I can't imagine playing again. See, I wasn't looking at it that way, but that's a fair way to look at it.
Cam Newton said this is, it's a make or break year. We all know that. He's not making starting quarterback money. What are they really saying in New England about what they plan to do at quarterback?
They want to see this through with Cam. They don't have any plans. Okay, by week eight, we're going to play Mac Jones. They're not doing that. He's on a one-year deal, very little money, as you said. Cash is only $5.1 million. Now, he's got some upside pretty significant of about $10 million to it. So if he plays all 17 games, remember, we're not on a 16-game season anymore. It's kind of weird to say that. But in the end, if he's playing well by midseason, they're not going to pull him. That's just the way I see it. Because remember this, Belichick had a very good opportunity to play Jarrett Stidham, their fourth-round pick in 2019, for the final two games after they were eliminated from the playoffs. Because Cam was awful. Let's call it like it is. He should have been benched. And they didn't play him. They played Cam Newton, and it was painful watching him. But they didn't play Stidham, which tells you where they're at with Stidham and told you that they wanted to see it through with Cam Newton. That was probably an indicator. Most of us didn't pick that up, but it was an indicator they were going to probably bring back Cam Newton just to see how he could do. But that's why, also, though, because he didn't play well, he got a very undervalued deal. But look, let's call it like it is. He's at a crossroads at his career. I understand quarterbacks who play well into their 30s. He's only 32. But it's been almost four seasons since he's played really high-level football.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Big Ben has found eating Jesus, right? Like, he's now, my man Ryan Burr's like, oh, he's the picture of fitness. It's a more strict regime than TB12. Now Ben is all in all the little things. Why would you put that out there? Right, these stories only get out if somebody wants them to get out. Why do you think that's out there?
Okay, so let's look at last year, Doug. If you watch their offense, it was pitiful, their passing game. Everything, it was way too much, around 44 times per game. Way too pass happy. I know they didn't have a run game. They didn't have Najee Harris, who they drafted in the first round. But their offensive line was horrendous. They just didn't have it going on. It was a very short area passing game. A lot of it was slants and short area stuff. Now, let's face it, Roethlisberger was coming off of elbow reconstruction. That is fully, not only is it fully healed, it's pretty strong from what I'm told, and I'll be at their camp, I think, next Wednesday. The first thing I will watch at practice, and I hope no one's near me because I want to see this up close, I want to see how the ball comes out of his hands, and I want to see if he could drive it down the field. Because that was absolutely missing last season. It was extremely tough to watch their offense, and it was very clear to me that it was his elbow, his surgically repaired right elbow, that was the problem, and that right elbow now is fine. That is the one thing, and look, Juju Smith-Schuster, don't forget, he came back. That shocked everyone. That was people inside the organization were not expecting them to bring back Juju. They thought they'd sign somewhere else with the Chiefs in particular, but he came back. I'm expecting him to throw the ball downfield, and the fact that he says he's in better shape, then that's fine. And I'm not going to rule this out. I know he's 39. If he plays great, and remember, he's on a one-year deal. If he plays great and they go far in the playoffs, I wouldn't rule out yet another one-year deal for Ben Roethlisberger.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Adam Kaplan. He's our NFL insider. All the stuff going on in the league. He's going to go. How many camps are you going to go to?
Well, here's what I'm doing this year, because we now have 21 teams working with each other. Actually, it was 22, but the Jaguars and Saints just canceled their combined practice. But I'm going to probably see at least 16 teams working with each other, which means 8 camps. I'm going to try to get to 20. I'll be out in L.A. It's just a matter of if I could fit all the teams in. I'm on a time restriction here. I got to go camp to camp
The L.A. Yeah. thing, just so you know, if you fly into Orange County, you can go see both in the same day.
I've been there. They're 15 minutes from each other. I love that one, flying to John Wayne. Yeah, that is it. That, I got to tell you,
that is a fun thing.
I was there 3 years ago when they fought with each other, and I got actually thrown to the ground when the players when the players coming at me. So that never fun when you're at a camp where they're – players are fighting and they got thrown into you. That actually happened to me also at a Washington football team and Jets camp some years ago.
What do you think the numbers end up being on Lamar Jackson if he gets a new deal?
Well, you know, it's really odd. He doesn't have an agent. If you just look at recent deals, and I know he did not play well last season, let's call it like it is, but Dak Prescott doesn't have a long history of being in the playoffs. And you just mentioned Lamar Jackson. He just had his first playoff win. But Dak Prescott signed an enormous deal, a 4-year extension worth $40 million. He got a great deal. And by the way, he was coming off of a season that was shortened significantly by a broken ankle and dislocation. To me, if he takes less than $40 million, he'd be doing a hometown discount. He would have to get some kind of structure that was so significant that he would take it. He's got it. Generally, what you do is when you don't have an agent, you have an attorney, look it over. But these deals aren't hard. When you're a quarterback, you just look at who are the highest paid quarterbacks. And you work from there, and you work off of what are called comparable contracts. So he will to get a comparable, and that won't be Dak Prescott's. Though it's going to be hard to get a deal as good as Dak Prescott's, but that would be the one to get.
Yeah, I think, though, the question is the length, right? Like, Mahomes, you feel like Mahomes is a long-time deal.
That was $45 million a year, but, man, that's a 10-year deal.
It's a backloaded deal. But with Lamar, there is still fear of an injury, right, because of how much he runs. And there is question about the ceiling because, look, there has been some limitations on how much he can throw. And all of this success he's been able to do with a top-five defense. And at some point when you're paying him $40 million, something, you're going to have to cut a corner somewhere. Can he carry a team that doesn't have as good a defense? Like, all these are legit questions about Lamar, aren't they?
Well, they are, particular, Doug, after the season they came off of where he struggled. Now, he did not have an offseason. I could tell you from talking to the Ravens, they were going to expand the passing game with him. There were a lot that they wanted to do with him to grow off that MVP year, and unfortunately, they didn't have an offseason with him, and they didn't have a preseason, and I think that absolutely impacted him. And, look, they're going to have a new starting running back in J.K. Dobbins. They address the receiver position in a major way, bringing in Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman. It's clear to me that they want to expand things. That would back up what I just said. Now they're going to have a new right tackle, and Villanueva comes over from the Steelers. But you know, overall, I do believe they're going to put more on him. And to do that, he's got to earn this contract. So it's going to be fascinating. He's the one that I thought would get done by next week. We'll see if it gets done.
Awesome stuff. Adam, last question, okay? Have you been on a safari before?
Never. I never have.
Okay. Would you rather do a 10-day safari, okay, or do the Bezos spaceship? You get 3 minutes of weightlessness in space.
Ooh. You know, it's funny. I have pros and cons for each. I kind of want to do the space thing. I got to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the safari's cool, but you know what? If you're telling me it's going to be 120 degrees, it depends on the weather.
I know. And the bugs.
Yeah.
Food.
Now, look, both have safety cautions, you know, obviously sure. safety issues. I don't know. It's funny. I hate roller coasters, but this thing's straight up, so it's kind of different.
It also
and I don't know
down.
How you would come down, though.
It also comes down.
Yeah, I know it does. It comes down, but that's a great. What's an interesting? You threw me one the last time. I forget that, which is really interesting. This one is completely different. The safari, though, I think I could take 3 days. I don't think I could take 10.
Okay. All right. Well, if you did the spaceship, we'd have to figure out who the three people you'd take with you. But that's
another one. That's for the next time. I like that.
Yeah. Next time. Adam Kaplan. He's our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. We'll talk to you next week. You'll be hitting camps. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We continue to ask the question, would you rather do a safari or, you know, like 10-day safari, right? See animals you've never seen. Like, have you guys seen that safari video where they're like in a Jeep and all of a sudden you see like an antelope going by and then out of nowhere, like a cheetah comes and shoom. Like, that's pretty cool. Elephants and rhinoceroses and hippopotamuses. Or would you rather go to space for 3 minutes of weightlessness? It's a good question. Let's ask Eric Name, who joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Of course, he covers the Bucks, and we want to talk about the Bucks tonight. But just in the spirit of Bezos going in space for 3 minutes, would you rather do the space thing or would you rather go on a safari?
Safari. It's not even close. I don't want to do anything with space. It's terrifying.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you. It's the idea, like, I'm sure there's terrible stories of people getting hurt or maybe injured while they're on safari by some animal, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, right? But the idea of going, yeah, I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, as opposed to space, you're basically being attached to a nuclear bomb and hoping that it works out. Like, yeah, I'm with you. What does this feel? Does this feel like the Bucks are like? Did you guys ever play, what's the Mortal Kombat? Eric, did you ever play Mortal Kombat?
Sure.
Does this feel like the Bucks have a finishing move in them?
Man, it really does. You know, I went into this series once the Bucks went down 2-0 and kind of thought to myself, this kind of feels like the Nets series. And in the Nets series, the Nets took two, the Bucks took two, the Nets took one, the Bucks took one, and then you got yourself to a game seven where it was going to be ugly. It was going to be, you know, just a slugfest to try to figure out who was going to win that game seven. The Bucks ended up coming out on top on that game. But it felt like that. It felt like that's what we were going to see. And then somehow in game five, despite the Suns shooting 60% from the field, 50% from the field and 60% from three. Like, they got through it. They found a way to win that game. And it just felt like, to me, like, if the Bucks could handle that on the road, you know, they can get themselves in a spot to win game six here in Milwaukee tonight. And I just came away so impressed with their shot making, their composure. Every time the Suns tried to answer, they seemingly had an answer. Chris Middleton was huge at the end of that game. And then, obviously, they were able to pull through with an incredible steal by Drew Holiday and an alley-oop finish by Giannis Antetokounmpo. It just felt like all of them were ready for the moment, rose to it, and managed to get a road win. And now it feels like with that in their back pocket, they have the confidence, the composure, and the ability to close it out here in Milwaukee tonight.
Eric Name joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Was there a moment when the series changed for you? Was it the Giannis block? Like, when was the moment this thing changed? Because they were down 2-0, and there were a lot of questions, and then it flipped. When was that moment?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the block from Giannis. It just felt like, you know, the Suns could have stole that game. They could have had it. And then Giannis makes a play that, frankly, I don't know that I've ever seen before. The man defended an alley-oop by himself. He defended literally both the alley and the oop.
That's great. That's good. That's incredible. That's a great point.
And it was just like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. And not only did he do it, he blocked the oop portion of it from the team that finished the other series with the valley oop. Like, they are famous for being able to finish alley oops in clutch moments. It just seemed to me like such a big play. And, you know, you go into the series not sure what Giannis was going to be able to do. He plays 35 minutes in game one. He has, I think, 20 points, 17 rebounds. Like, it was a fine performance, but you're really trying to figure out, you know, can he be this force of nature? And, you know, he comes through with a 40-point, 10-rebound game in game two, does the same in game three. And then you're thinking, is it quite enough? And, oh, he's got a little bit extra in him, and he can go out there and make a play like that. To me, that block just really felt like the play that kind of sealed this. I shouldn't say sealed this thing. There's still a lot of basketball left to be played, but it really felt like that was the play that swung it.
Aaron Rodgers coming tonight?
You know what? I've been thinking, as far as, like, the time to do it, Bucks up, Bucks in six, like, you throw the Bucks hat on, this might be the time. There's the crowd and the public would never love you more than if you showed up here during, like, the NBA Finals, the Bucks getting ready to close this thing out in six, and you're ready to go in that situation. Ultimately, probably not. But man, it would be bonkers if he shows up at Fiserv Forum tonight.
Yeah, like Bakhtiari pounds a beer, and then all of a sudden it shows, like, out of nowhere, here comes Aaron Rodgers, you know, kind of walking in with a beer and throws down a beer of his own. Like, that would be an unbelievable moment.
It'd be legendary.
Would Bud have gotten fired if they lost to the Nets?
Yeah, I think so. You know, even after going seven, I think there's probably a very good possibility that occurs. And I think that's one of the more amazing things that you kind of think about during this run is that, you know, not only was this team on the brink of being eliminated, you know, this team was on the brink of having very serious questions to answer during the postseason or during the offseason, excuse me, where it's not only is Mike Budenholzer still the coach, is this the core that they actually want? You know, they signed up for the next 3 to 4 years of Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. They have millions and millions of dollars behind that. They signed up for it, and if all of a sudden you can't actually get this done and you can't actually get over the hump and you're going to see that Nets team over and over again, maybe it's not just the coach that has to go. Maybe you got to rethink your entire core. So it is kind of crazy to think that they've been on the precipice of that throughout the entire postseason, and not just once, multiple times, where they go down 0-2, they lose game five to the Nets, they go down 0-2 to the Suns. Like, throughout all of this, there are these moments where, man, what would the future of the Milwaukee Bucks have looked like if they don't kind of get to this spot? And again, it ain't over. They could still lose 6 and 7. That could happen. There are no guarantees here. But it is kind of crazy to think just the journey that they've gone through in this postseason alone.
Drew Holiday, I mean, I tried to make the case yesterday. I don't think he wins the MVP. But it does feel like what he's done in exhausting Chris Paul and making some other plays he's been the catalyst, right? And maybe that's not the most valuable. Maybe it's not the best. Is a catalyst, is that a fair way of stating what he's been able to do?
I think the thing that has stood out to me, and, you know, I asked Giannis about this yesterday, is that so often in the last 2 years, you know, we've kind of talked about, you know, what can Giannis do? How can Giannis get better? How can Giannis get them over the hump? And we tend to not think, like, you know, what could everyone else do to make it easier on Giannis? And I just think when you go through this postseason, you're going to kind of see that this ended up being a team win. That was Giannis spectacular? Yeah. Like, this dude's about to average 33 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists per game in the NBA Finals. That's incredible. He's going to have fantastic numbers, despite only playing at who knows what percent in game one. He's going to have those numbers, but they don't win game five without Drew Holiday. They don't win game four without Chris Middleton putting up 40 points. Like, they don't do all those things without those other guys. And you're right in saying Drew Holiday is a big portion of this, because so often throughout Chris Paul's career, we've seen him control the game. His greatest stat is how low his turnovers have always been, and now he's a 5-turnover-a-game guy across the last 4 games. And that has been because Drew Holiday puts in the work, and Drew Holiday also happens to have incredible instincts and be one of the best defenders at the point guard position. Like, without him doing that, this series looks a lot different. And, oh, by the way, in the moments that Chris falls off the floor, you know who he goes and covers? Devin Booker. That is 40 minutes of hard work, man. And Drew Holiday's put it all in. So, yeah, I don't know the perfect term. I don't know if it's catalyst or whatever you might want to say, but this run, this finals would not be possible without Drew Holiday doing the things that he's done.
How long have you been in Milwaukee?
I'm a lifelong Wisconsinite. I've been in Milwaukee now for 10 years.
Yeah, so I don't know if people know how bad it was, right, when they bottomed out. Right. And it wasn't that long ago that they did. I mean, so for people who don't, it's there's a bunch of different layers to it. Right. There's the 2014. They win 15 games. They totally bottomed out. There's the heartbreak of 2 years ago. Right. There's the acquisition of Bogdanovich, where he didn't want to go to Milwaukee. There was all of the agita over will Giannis sign the contract extension, right? There's all these different things, not even factoring in this year itself. What would it mean to Milwaukee? And look, you go back to last year this time, and the city, the area, I mean, Kenosha's not right there. You know, like, the whole state is tense. To go from that to this, what would it mean?
I mean, the best way I can kind of say it is that, you know, throughout the Eastern Conference Finals and now the NBA Finals, they've had 18,000 in the arena, and they've had another 25,000 outside. And tonight, they decided that they were going to shut down all the streets in downtown Milwaukee and make it so that 25,000 can turn into 65,000. Like, we're legitimately looking at, again, I'm about 4 hours from tip time. I'm about a mile and a half away from the arena. I'm a little bit concerned about, like, how I'm actually going to get down there. Like, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, like, all right, am I going to be able to walk through all this? Like, okay, yeah, probably. Like, this means so much to this city, who has really been through some rough years. I mean, if you start from when I was born in 1990, you're looking at, you know, Blue Edwards and Brad Lowhouse as the guys I got to play NBA Jam with. Like, you're looking,
that's a good call. Like, that's a good call. Nobody ever picked the Bucks in NBA Jam.
No, why would you? Like, you start there, and then they get out of the darkness. They have an incredible 2000-2001 season. They have the big three, Sam Cassell, Ray Allen, Big Dog. And all of a sudden, George Karl's ego gets a little bit too big. The player's ego gets a little bit too big. They fall apart after one magical season where they were 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. And then it is a desert of despair. They're continually in the playoff race, but really only in like the 7 and 8 spots. They don't really have a good team. The team is thinking about moving, but Herb Cole saves the team and says, no, I will sell this team, but they will stay in Milwaukee. I will make sure of it. Gives $100 million to the new ownership group that comes in to help build an arena that, as I mentioned before, is going to have 85,000 people in or around it tonight. And that's what we're talking about when you're talking about what this means to Milwaukee. These people have watched all of those teams. They've not been able to play with the Bucks on NBA Jam. Like, they've gone through all of this to get to this spot where they have two dudes. I mean, obviously Giannis is a guy, but they have two dudes that were on that 15 and 67 team in Giannis and Chris Middleton. Those two dudes have been together for 8 years now, and they have taken them from 15 wins to one win away from an NBA championship for the first time in 50 years in Milwaukee. That's what this means.
Eric Name. Eric, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.